Greetings. This program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Today we're continuing in our study of the Gospel of John, and particularly we will focus in on this great, wonderful word, grace. Now let us pray. Our Father, we pray for thy divine illumination on this declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text today is from John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I introduced the word grace to you a few Sundays ago, and I want to mention to you once again that there are certain words, Christian words, that you have to learn to understand Christianity. One of the words we learned just recently is the word incarnation. Another word we're trying to learn more about today is the word grace. There are 170 Bible references to the word grace in your Bible. The first time the word grace is employed in your Bible is in the book of Genesis, where it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want you to know that the word grace developed over time. It's like the word automobile developed over time. At first, automobile meant a horse-drawn carriage, in other words, a buggy, where the single tree in front was cut off and they had drilled a hole through the floor of that buggy up front, and they put a steering wheel in it, and then he stuck an engine on this thing and somehow make it work and run. That's the first meaning of the word automobile. But as you know, the automobile has developed or evolved quite a bit in the last 70 or 80 years, and as you look to the modern cars today, there's so much different than they used to be that the only thing you can say that the old cars have in common with the new and the new with the old is that both get you there quicker than walking. So, my friend, it is with the word grace. There's a lot more to grace today than there was in the days of Noah. There's a lot more to know about grace today than there was in the days of Noah. There's a lot more given to us in reference to grace today than there was in the days of Noah. So I want you to know that grace has three major components. The first one is saving grace, the second one is transforming grace, and the third one is keeping grace. Going back to verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Let us look at this verse very carefully now. I want you to think about our religion, our faith for a moment, as being like a tandem bicycle, a bicycle for two. Now, under Moses, the law was taking the front seat of the tandem bicycle. Grace was taking the back seat of the tandem bicycle. This is why it says here, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." But now, friend, since Jesus came, the law was moved to the back seat of the bicycle, and grace and truth are seating on the front seat of the bicycle. And that's a very dramatic and drastic change. However, please notice that it does not say here that the law is done away with. It was just moved from the front seat to the back seat. In other words, the rear end of the tandem bicycle has not been cut off and thrown away. We still need the back part of the tandem bicycle because that's where the drive wheel is at. And furthermore, we're still getting help in power from that whatever sits on the back seat. What this verse means, my friends, that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, is simply this. We are no longer governed by the law, but we are governed now by the person of Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. However, Remember again that this does not in any way make us free of the law. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." How dare you contradict Jesus and say, "We're done with the law," when he says, "One jot and one tittle shall not fail till the end of the earth." So, Paul also says, the law is just, holy, and good. No, my friend, we still need to pay attention to the law, even though grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and they have now taken the front seat. In other words, referring to the law, it is still not right to have other gods. It is still not right to kill. It is still not right to steal. It is still not right to tell lies. It is still not right to covet our neighbor's goods and our neighbor's servant and our neighbor's oxen and ass and our neighbor's wife. It is still not right to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. You cannot get away from these laws of God. What we have here in relationship to law and grace is not that the one is put away, but it is repositioned. It is a repositioning of these two great truths of God. Now, let us get on with saving grace, transforming grace, and keeping grace. The main element of saving grace is mercy. The main element of transforming grace is power. And the main element of keeping grace is love. Now, having said all that, I want you to be sure to know this. I'm not defining grace in an absolute sense. Nobody can do that. Grace is too big to be put in a box. And for someone to say, that's all there's to it, we found the depth of it, the height of it, the breadth of it, and the length of it. No, you can't do that. Grace is so great, you'll never get to the bottom of it. But speaking about grace in terms of saving us, speaking about grace in terms of transforming us and making us new persons, and speaking about grace as that which is of God, which helps us to keep the faith, my friend, is going to be a great help to us. Now, first of all, let us go to saving grace. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so says the Apostle Paul. He also says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags, and there is none righteous, no, not one. He also says the wages of sin is death, and he also tells us that without God in our hearts, we are aliens, we're strangers, we're foreigners, we're lost, and the wrath of God is upon us. Without God in our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we face a very terrible destiny, which is what Jesus describes as hell. God is a holy God, and God has to deal with sin. God's justice has to be satisfied. But the good news is the news of grace. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take our sins and our punishment for our sins upon Himself to die for us on the cross. And if we believe in Him, and if we ask Jesus to forgive us, and if we repent of all of our sins, then His grace, God's grace, will forgive us and will cleanse us from all sins, from all unrighteousness. God's saving grace will remove the guilt of our sins as far as the east is from the west, and the work of Christ will become effectual in our lives. My friend, that's what saving grace can do. Saving grace will save you from the condemnation of sin. Saving grace says, I love you. I died for you. I have mercy on you. If you come to me, I will make you a child of God. But as we are at the feet of Jesus, cleaned up from our sins, forgiven, cleansed by the blood of Jesus from all our iniquities, we need to be transformed. We need to be changed. We need to receive the power of God so we will be different, so we will not continue in sin, in rebellion, and in selfishness. And that's where transforming grace comes in. Transforming grace begins the moment that you are born of God, that the Holy Spirit enters into your body. That's precisely the beginning of the work of transforming grace. That's when you're being transformed from having been a stranger to God, a foreigner to God, an alien to God. That's when you're being accepted in the family of God as a child of God, as a citizen of the family of God, as an heir to Christ, as a friend of Jesus. Oh, my friend, we don't only need saving grace, we need transforming grace. And by the grace of God, it is given to us. This transforming grace helps us to stop lying and stealing. It stops us from adultery, from fornication, from stinginess. It helps us to stop our life of disobedience to father, to mother, to the pastor, to the school teacher, to the boss, to the police officer. This transforming power changes us from being harsh and unreasonable to being kind and flexible and submissive and broken and surrendered and sweet and holy. This transforming power of God's grace then gives us a new heart. It makes a new man out of the old man. It makes a humble man out of a proud man. It makes a godly man, a man like God, out of an ungodly man. Hallelujah. John says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Thirdly, there's also what we call keeping grace. What God is doing in our hearts through transforming grace, He's able to keep it going. This is brought out most beautifully in the book of Jude, verse 24, where it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen." That tells us the grace of God is able to keep us holy. It is able to keep us at the side of Jesus. Even when we go through the fire and the flood and through storms, and when we have long seasons of unanswered prayer, we have the power to be faithful to our Lord without backsliding and becoming discouraged, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Once again, grace. How do we define grace? Well, we can only try. Grace means God is for us, and He expressed it through Jesus Christ, His Son, in saving grace, in transforming grace, and in keeping grace. And the key element of saving grace is mercy. The key element of transforming grace is power. The power of God, and the key element of keeping grace is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. For more messages, my friend, or this one, you can go to my website and also listen to various radio programs on my website. It's www.schulze, that's schulze.org, www.schulze.org. May the Lord help you, and I'll talk to you again next week at the same time over the station, the Lord having mercy on me. Goodbye now. I'm Pastor Schulze.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.